The scripture reading will be from Ephesians 5, 13 through 16. Ephesians 5, 13 through 16. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason it says, "Awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil."
Well, good evening. It's always wonderful to come out to worship our God. I appreciate Scott and the songs that he led this morning and tonight. It's an opportunity to worship our God and to consider some of the things that he has done for us. Tonight after services, everyone's invited to go to the back classroom, or at least as many as of you that can fit. And we're going to record some songs that are from the songbook to send to Reba Porter and some others. But please, if you have the opportunity to do that, please make sure that you do so. Tonight we want to talk about time. And really what the understanding of what time is and what it does. You know, it's interesting from our perspective how quickly we think we're wasting time when we're talking to somebody that we just don't really want to talk to them. Stop wasting my time. The biggest culprit of those who waste time is me. I waste my time. And yet the idea of thinking about that other people are wasting their time or my time gives really a lot of power to other people that don't deserve it. But I want you to think this morning as we begin to go through this idea of eternity, what it truly means when it comes to time, what it truly means and how quickly it goes by. It is amazing to me to think about what the Thomases had to have witnessed this morning, since they've been here since 1968, I believe. Where 33 brothers and sisters in Christ met. Where them and the Lawsons were there in the beginning, to look into a congregation now and to see how far that it has come, to see the work that God is doing in the West Mason area, to see what it can be in the future as we go forward, understanding our part in the work here at West Mason. I know that there were some who are wondering, why nine? You know, the interesting thing to me is how man's wisdom always gets in the way of godly things. God says there's a minimum you're going to have, not a maximum. Man comes along and says, well, yeah, but what? He didn't ask you. The other aspect of this that's important for us to understand, if we are not focused into the future and understanding what God is doing in this area, you are putting him in a box. I believe with all my heart that the leadership grows in order for the congregation to grow. And we are getting into a place where we're going to be able to grow and to continue to grow spiritually and in number and the opportunities before us. But it's only if we truly understand our part in the work at West Mason. What is my responsibility? What is my role? The reality is, sometimes people think that their great talent is complaining. You're not given that as a spiritual gift. It's not yours. And it's understanding the opportunity that was before us. It's using the time to the best of our ability. I love this picture for various reasons. It's interesting to me how the water is running out, and you get to choose sometimes how fast it's going to run out, but the reality is we all have a limited amount. We don't think of it that way until you see a picture of a goldfish. We have a limited amount. And we have to determine how we're going to use that time. Now, we can kind of make it go faster out of the faucet, I suppose, or slower. But the reality is, as we've talked about many times, you know what happens to the fittest of us? They die. They die. There's still a finite amount of time, unless we're looking at the big picture, and that's what we're going to be talking about
this morning, or this evening, and then going into next week, the idea of understanding eternity. So if you would open your Bibles to Ephesians, the fifth chapter, we're going to look at some of the things here that were mentioned. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 15. I appreciate Ty reading the verses leading up to this, but it's the understanding of that we are to be imitators of God. We're going to walk in love. We're going to do the things that it means to walk as children of light. And you continue on here into verse 15. It says, therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your hearts to the Lord, always giving thanks for the things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. You know, it's interesting to me what he says we need to do. You know, the first thing that he talks about here is you need to be wise. We need to appreciate what it means to walk as people that are wise. It's interesting in this book, especially Ephesians, the idea of how he talks about walk. We need to walk in the light. You need to walk in being wise, striving to be wise in the idea of how we are to live our lives. Are you wise? Do we make the most of our time? Do we truly make the most of our time? You know, it's interesting when you consider as he goes on here, and I'll just put these up here, that we need to make sure that we are filled with the Spirit, that we are taking our time to be filled with the Spirit, that we have the idea and the understanding of what it means to speak to one another. Here, in context, he's talking about the idea of singing. And now we talk to one another. In chapter 4, he gets into the conversation about the words that we say, seasoned with salt, how we speak to one another, the things that come from our mouths. Are we thankful, as he talks about in verse 20, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, even the Father. And then obviously, the idea of serving. Submit to one another for the fear of Christ. When you think about wasting time and the time that you are giving, how do you decide how you're wasting time? Here's my fear for a lot of people. I believe that people think they have to be doing something all the time and view it to be quality. If I'm sitting with my family, I could be doing something else. There's nothing better that you could be doing than sitting with your family. Studying God's word, praying to him. It's the understanding the opportunities that come before us. Satan wants to keep us as busy as possible. Because the first thing, or many times for a lot of us, the first being, if you will, that gets put aside is God. It's not me. It certainly isn't the things I want to do. I always have time for that. It's understanding the opportunities that we have to serve God, to submit to one another, to encourage one another, to be thankful to the Almighty for all that he has done for us, to walk in wisdom and strive to be better people. Be filled with the Spirit and the understanding of serving him. And then obviously, as verse 16 says, making the most of your time because the days are evil. We have the opportunity, or we have a finite amount of time to use that time to our benefit, to our advantage. And that's not always having to fill that time with things. It's making the most of that time. One of the things that's fascinating to me, and I've talked about this so often because it strikes me, is how often you get to somebody's life at the end, they've never one time, not one time, has said to me that they wish they would have spent more time going to work and doing all these different things. Not one time. It's always about family. It's always about serving God. Even for people that are alive and people that they struggled with, I wish I just had one more minute with. I know that there's people in this room that love to have one more minute with a loved one that has passed away. And those of us that have people in our lives take for granted that we have that moment. Make the most of it. It is amazing. I had somebody come up to me last week and say, you know, 20 years ago, I can remember saying you saying that your goal was to be an elder. 20 years ago? How's that possible? Because it goes by just like that. And it's the understanding of how amazing it is to be here in the now, and the opportunity that we have now to do something in this area because of our God. And the opportunity that we have for generations to come, if the Lord wills, to continue to let the light shine in this area. But that it's only going to happen if we're all doing our part. It's understanding how precious time is. One of the most interesting things to me about Jesus is how he spent his time. And let's put these up quickly. The Samaritan woman we talk about fairly often. You talk about the leper. Jesus takes time. He doesn't just say you're healed and walks away. He actually touches the leper, which is amazing. He takes time to talk to him. The Samaritan woman he talks to for a while. The woman who is struggling with the issue of blood. It's amazing to me what he calls her. Daughter? It's interesting to me how he treats people that were in his way, if you will, from our perspective. The apostles try to keep them away from him. It's understanding the opportunity as a reform. The people that you see up above you, or above me, rather, in John 4, Mark 1, and Mark 5, would have been viewed to be the lowest of the low. They would have been viewed to be unclean people. A rabbi would never be around them, let alone the Son of God, from a human perspective. And it's the same for you and I. The most amazing one to me, and some of us saw this in a video this past week. If you turn to Luke, the 21st chapter, this is amazing to me. This is a story we all know. As he's standing in the temple, and he watches this widow come up, and she puts her two small copper coins in, it says in New American Standard. And he tells this amazing story. The understanding that she gave her all, and it goes on, and he's teaching from the people. But the perspective for you and I to remember at this time, Jesus knows what is going to happen later in this week. He knows. And one of the things he spends time on is watching this lady put money in the treasury. He could have done anything else. And he chose that this is going to be something that's going to be a part of my last week prior to death. Is that what you would have chosen? Probably not. Is that what I have chosen? Nope. But the Son of God did. I think it shows a few things. First of all, it shows the fact that he understands the value of one soul. He understands that, obviously. He was going to die for that widow as much as he was going to die for Peter, as much as he was going to die for me. He knew that. He also understood, obviously, the great example that she was. Not only for those that are around her, I'm talking about her 2,000 years later. And it's amazing to me to think about how precious his time was. He knew how precious his time was. And what he fills that time with is washing feet, praying, destroying a fig tree, cleaning out the temple, watching this widow, instituting the Lord's Supper, praying some more. Is that the way your last week would go? It's amazing. When you think about how precious time is, but here's the interesting part. The eternal one understands the value of time, but he understands eternity. You see, next week we're going to start talking about eternity, but the difficulty with understanding eternity is it's a word that we can define, but to truly appreciate what that is difficult. And the only way that we can ever do it is if we understand how valuable time is to begin with. We have been given a finite amount of time by the infinite one. We have a certain amount of time. You don't know what that time amount is? I don't know. He does. We live our life as though we know, though. But we don't know. What we do know is the one who controls all of eternity. And it's the understanding that we have to make the most of every moment that we are given on this earth. That every second that we are given, we are blessed to have. And how we spend that time is so unbelievably important. You know, there's a quote that I would use fairly often. We're going to focus on the, don't focus on the dot, focus on the line of eternity. But the reality is for you and I is to understand that the dot is a part of the line. It is important. The dot is important. But in comparison to eternity, it's very insignificant from that perspective as far as amount. But it's extremely significant when it comes to where we're going to spend eternity. We can focus so much on the dot that we never think about eternity. There's no thought of it. There are people so often that are worried about tomorrow and the next year and 2 years from now and 5 years from now, and there's no thought of eternity. It's good to think about 5 years from now. You may want to think about the time that never ends. It's the understanding that what that means to me. How often do we focus on the dot rather than the line? If you turn over to Matthew, the 25th chapter, what does this come down to? How you live your life, how we treat one another, how we treat others. Matthew, the 25th chapter, verses 31 through 46 is talking about here you have this judgment scene. You have the separation of the sheep and the goats in verse 33. Verse 35 says, "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then a righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison or come to you?" And the king will answer and say to them, "Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me." And he goes on and does the opposite for those who didn't do this. You know what they said? "If I'd have seen you, Jesus, I absolutely would have helped you. I absolutely would have helped you, Jesus. Why didn't you help my brothers?" I love when Jesus comes to Paul, call him Saul, the road to Damascus. And he says, "Why are you persecuting me? I didn't persecute you, Jesus. If you persecuted my people, you persecuted me," he tells him. "Why are you persecuting me? If we do not take care of those around us, even the least of them, we are not using our time as we're supposed to." We need to understand the opportunity that is before us. You turn over to 1 Peter, the 4th chapter. In 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, again, Tyler talked about this morning, but it's understanding what is coming, what it means to be ready for eternity. "The end of all things is near. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies. So that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belongs the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen." It's amazing to me to consider this verse, to consider 1 Peter. He's written during a time of great persecution, and he tells them, you need to be ready. The end is coming. Judgment is coming. Be ready. How am I going to be ready? You know what you need to do? You need to treat people well. You need to show them who Jesus is. You need to be hospitable without complaining. You need to make sure that you're speaking the things that you're supposed to speak. You know, Tyler and I were talking about this after services today. When we talk about them, somebody coming up to them and asking them, "Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God?" They're not asking that to try to find out the good news. They were asking that to find out if they believed in God so they could persecute them. That was the purpose of 1 Peter. And he says, you tell them. You speak as it were the oracles of God. You let your behavior show who the Son of God is. You keep fervent in your love, even in the midst of difficult situations and circumstances. Why? Because the end is coming. It's coming. And it's the same for you and for me. Time is the most valuable thing we have. It is so valuable because it's something that I cannot add to. I can slow it down sometimes. I could eat better. But the reality is, eternity is something that we've got to understand. Next week, Lord willing, we're going to talk about what it looks like from that perspective, eternity. You see, the amazing thing about the great source of eternity, the eternal one, God, is that there was no beginning and there was no end. That's why he's the source. He gave us the beginning. He started it for us. Our soul will continue for eternity. That's amazing to me. And we have a choice to make where we're going to spend that eternity. And it's based on how you live this life. It's based on whether or not we have a relationship with him. It's based on whether or not we understand that now is the time. As he says in Romans, the 13th chapter and verse 11, do this, knowing the time, that it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. For now salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. You and I have got to understand that we literally are always 1 second away from eternity. 1 second. We don't know what the future holds as much as we would like to. We have no control over our time as much as I would love to control it. It just keeps going. What we do have control over is how we spend that time and where we're going to spend eternity. I put this verse up here because it's interesting to me how often people are asleep on this subject. There are people who know full well what you need to do to get your life right with God. Know full well what you need to do. And go through life as though tomorrow is always going to be there. You are closer to the end today than you were yesterday. You are closer to the end than when I first got up here. You are closer to being with God for eternity as his child if you're obedient unto him. If you're not, I pray that you do something about that now. Do not wait. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and he came and he died for you, not to give you as much time as you would like, but to give you the opportunity to be with him for eternity. Now's the time to get your life right with him. If you believe that he is the Son of God, that he came and he died for you, do you need to repent of the sins that you've committed? Confess him as the Son of God that he is. To be buried with him in baptism for the remission of your sins, now's the time. Please do not wait. Pray for one another. But if there's anything that we can do for you, if you have any questions, please let us know. Make the most of your time. If there's anything we can do for you now, I ask you to please come as we stand and sing.